The whole topic of Olam Haba is something which we don't, as is easy to understand, we don't have even a little bit of a real picture of what's going on. We have some ideas from Torah commentaries. I think my main purpose in discussing the topic and bringing it to others' attention and my own attention is to try and motivate us just to be focused in this world on what we should be focused on. You know, to realize that we're going somewhere else, etc., and all the other things that it comes with. But what's actually going to take place and how it's going to work, as the Rambam says and many others, we don't know until it's actually going to happen. We've never been there. Even people who have had NDEs, etc., they tell you little snippets, but you can never, you know, you can never obviously base proofs based on just like a report like that. And but very briefly, in terms of what Chibut HaKever is, it's not such a pleasant thing usually. Chibut HaKever is, I mean, the concept, and there's many concepts, many sources bring down that the neshama hovers by the kever for like the first 3 days, and so there's always like an eternal connection to the kever, and that's why, you know, you dive in at kever at tzaddikim and things like that, because they're more present there in a sense. So that's one thing that's brought. In the concept of chibut hakever, which is what was mentioned, is basically a form of punishment that happens in the a person's burial place. Exactly how it takes place, there's Torah literature about it. Some will say it actually happens to the body, and the body does feel. Some will say it happens to the like, soul, but exactly how it takes place. If you're really interested in this topic, there is actually a movie which has a lot of these sources presented, and they well-researched sources. So you're welcome to watch it, but I'm just giving you a very a warning that it's quite hectic. So it depends who you are, and you have to see for yourself if it would be good for you or not. I when I watched it at the time, it was actually really good for me, because I felt in a sense it gave me more Yiras Shamayim. But as we'll talk about also in the recordings, I don't know if you've got in the air also, it just depends how much focus one wants to place on the negative things and the positive things. The truth of the matter is that both exist. There's no question. There's tremendous place in Gan Eden and reward, and Hashem is forgiving Father, and even if we make mistakes, etc. At the same time, because of Bechira, there is the exact opposite. There is the concept of Gehenim. There is the concept of Chibut HaKever, which is way worse than, you know, we think of October 7, we think of the Holocaust, and Chas V'Shalom ever to undermine even this, you know, the tremendous atrocities that happened, whilst at the same time, we taught that the things in the next world are like completely beyond any comprehension we can even begin to imagine compared to those things. So the concept of Chibut HaKever is a form of suffering that happens in the kever. They say like they put the body in certain positions and Malachim takes different sides of the body and shake it out. And it's not really pretty. If you, like I say, if you are interested, I think there might be two movies, but you can just look him up. It's called the Gehenna movie, spelled G-E-H-I-N-N-O-M. It's Gehenna movie, and the author is Yaron Ruvain. That's his name. I don't know if you've come across him. I think he does other talks and stuff. So I think he's got one on Chibut HaKever and whatever. Again, in general, in principle, I'm not in agreement with his approach. That every, you know, most of his shiurim, his approach is about teach people how hectic Gehenim is, and it's just worth just doing enough good in this world just so that you don't have to suffer Gehenim, etc. His points are true. They are true and they're valid, and they are based on real Torah sources. The only thing which is similar to what Rav Breidovitz, how his take is on it. Again, he mentioned, Rav Breidovitz says the things are true, but it just depends on what you focus on. If it's going to be beneficial for you, or if it's just going to take you more, if you're going to feel uninspired now because it's just so hectic, etc. You have to know for yourself, just as a general rule. I know I'm going quite off topic, but I hope this will be beneficial. I think as a general rule, people which are in maybe a more inspired place, maybe like a more inspired type of neshama, which you would definitely fall into that category. Again, people obviously go through different periods, but I think Jeff, definitely the source of your neshama, as you know about yourself, I think these things can sometimes be more beneficial for those type of neshamas than others. You know, so with some people who are just struggling and like in many areas, and then you bring these concepts of Gehenim and whatever, it's just too much for a person to even. So, but you're sensitive in other ways, so you just have to think of for yourself if it'll be good or not. But again, if you'd like to explore, I mentioned one of the Kami Shirim that you haven't gone to yet, that there's different Midrashim It's called Maseches Gan Eden, Maseches Chibut HaKever, Maseches Gehenim, which are Midrashic collections of the things that happen there. You know, if you really want to learn about it, there's all different levels and the different seven different compartments in Gehenim, and also the same in Gan Eden, and a different, you know, there's all the, what happens in each one, and there's certain malach that's appointed there, and it's quite scary, vivid, graphical things that happen there, which again we can't understand in our terminology exactly what that means. But one thing for sure, as we taught, is that the good is way better than any good we know, and the bad is way worse than anything we know. But if you're interested, like I say, in seeing some of the description, I chose not to go into those descriptions in this series for numerous reasons. I don't think it will be so beneficial, and some people may not want to hear it. Then you should look up that movie. The next thing you mentioned about Olam HaNeshamas is that how come, you know, the people that are not alive at the time of Mashiach, they're not going to be zocheh to the coming of Mashiach. So again, the principle to remember, as the Rambam says, the whole point of learning all this is just to inspire us to do the right thing. But to actually know what's going to happen, we're not prophets. We don't know actually how it's going to take place until it actually does take place. However, just some ideas are that, yes, it's very, very possible and seemingly implied that those that will be alive at the time, only those people will be the ones that witness and experience Mashiach. Just like we today are the ones who experiencing, you know, please God, we have October 7, and then there's been tremendous miracles which all of us have witnessed. Only us in today's day and age, maybe they have a certain sense of it in Shamayim. I don't know that. That could be that they have a sense of Mashiach has come and how that works, and how that, I'm sure, how that affects the heavenly worlds. Again, we can't know exactly what that means. But simply speaking, the actual experience of Mashiach, we're taught on a basic level, is yes, only those that are around at the time will experience Mashiach. Again, we don't know how long Mashiach is going to be. Some bring for 40 years. That's the period of Mashiach. And as Rabbi Arbat sometimes says, it could be a million years. We don't actually understand these things until it actually happens. However, again, it all comes down to emunah. Hashem has it all planned out. So even if in theory it would happen, you know, we are not around, or whoever that we wouldn't be around in the time of Mashiach, Hashem has a reason why for that. It's based on previous Gilgulim and previous reincarnations and who did what, etc., to be there. And if someone's not there at the time, firstly, maybe like you say, there could be some experience of that in the higher worlds. And even if not, as I don't know if we've gotten there yet to the concept of the next level of resurrection of the dead, which everybody who merits that will experience, and then that will go to Olam Haba. So again, I think the bottom line with all these things is just to internalize that the point is to realize that it's real, it's going to happen, and we really got a one Mashiach, and we have a mitzvah to one Mashiach, and whatever's going to inspire us, so the truth of the matter, if we're not going to be for Mashiach, what a tremendous loss. Whilst at the same time, so therefore what? Do the mitzvahs. Do more mitzvahs. Be inspired to do more. Be a Torah, mitzvahs, tefillah, whatever it might be. And then at the same time, to live with the other side of the coin, as in, I realize that I know nothing, and all I have to live with is emunah, with belief that everything is going to work out in the right way. If I'm around in the time of Mashiach, if I'm not around in the time of Mashiach, there can be many. I'm not going to go into them now, because I've already sent a long voice note. There can be many concepts in Torah of things that, you know, predictions and ideas that can sometimes be scary. If we try to understand it on a basic level, it's like, really, is that how it's going to happen? And it can throw a person off. But again, one of the fundamentals that we've discussed many times is just to live not by the values of what we understand and logic. Even if nothing makes sense, I'll just share two more things which I think are important that come to mind. But there was a certain I forget who it was, like one of the rebbes, that he said that even if he would be told he's going into Gehenna, he would say L'shem Yichud. You know, that's an introductory paragraph that people say before performing a big mitzvah. So again, he was just saying, if Hashem wants me to go to Gehenna, I would do it, even if I know I'm going to the biggest pain in the world. I would do it with such simcha, with such enthusiasm, because I just want to do what Hashem wants me to do. Similar to what the Baal Shem Tov said, you know, when they told the Baal Shem Tov once from Shamayim, that, I don't know if you're not familiar with the story, you know, the story that he did something, a miracle for someone, and then they informed him from Shamayim that he's lost his Olam Haba, the Baal Shem Tov not having Olam Haba. And he was so happy. He said, Baruch Hashem, I can now serve Hashem just for the sake of serving Hashem, not for the sake of Olam Haba. It happens to be that afterwards they said, you got your Olam Haba back, etc. But that's the point, that even if a person's like, I've got no more Olam Haba, how can that make sense? You know, it's petrifying. So again, on the one side of the coin, we're just thinking about Olam Haba. It should inspire us to do the right thing, etc. On the other side of the coin, even if things don't add up, we don't live with what the sense and the logic of it, but rather with them. And something else that comes to mind, I heard from Rabbi Tatz that he mentioned that when a person dies, they see a certain black. I don't know if this applies to everybody, how it works. I haven't seen the source for this, but I trust him for mentioning it. That when a person dies, they see a certain darkness, blackness, but like a blackness of kfira, of the opposite of emunah, that it almost seems like Hashem doesn't exist for a few moments. And that's like where, after a person's died, apparently, a person's like now tested. Is then Hashem going to say, you see, it was all wrong. I knew it all along that I was buying into something fake. It's not true. Or even in those moments, is a person that Hashem trained to now say, I'm going to believe, even though now it seems so apparently vividly clear that there is that the Hashem doesn't exist. I'm going to believe that what I'm seeing is not the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is that, of course, Hashem does exist. And even if I can't see it, I'm going to believe it.